little different order of service tonight. And we're going to tuck the things that we normally do in the beginning at the end. And so, like I said, you know, Baptists, we get in a habit. Amen. We get in a habit. Sometimes you can get in a rut. And we don't want to get in a rut. Someone once said that a rut is a grave with the ends knocked out. And I don't know how true that is, but we never want to get into a rut. But I want to speak tonight. Tonight is praise and prayer night. And we're going to have some praise, prayer, and pie to keep it all alliterated. Amen. So we're going to have some pie after the service tonight. And and I hope you stay with us. But I want to speak on the thoughts tonight of praising God, praising God. What is it to praise God? What does it mean to praise God? And how do we praise God like He wants us to praise Him? And what does Scripture say? What does Scripture teach? So we're going to look at this, Ephesians chapter 1, and let's begin tonight with verse number 1, and trust you'll follow along as I read this passage of Scripture. The Bible says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To, notice verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Notice verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And I want to speak on these thoughts tonight. Praise to God. Let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible and thank you for the privilege to open it and preach it, Lord. And Father, I ask, Father, that you would bless and speak to us through your word tonight. Lord, I really, as a person, have nothing to say, but Lord, you have everything to say to our hearts and our minds tonight. So help us tonight as we look into the word to hear, Lord, what your word wants us to say for your glory and honor. And I pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Praising God. Praising God. You know, there is no command in all the Bible that is repeated more than this subject of praising God. To the effect of praising God, there are over 1,500 times in the Bible that it specifically says that we should praise God. Now, if it says it that many times, I think we ought to perk up and take notice and understand that it's very important for us to make sure we are praising the Lord. Amen? Praise in this passage. And I looked up today and just tried to study this word praise and what it is and what it means. There's three different times in the Old Testament, three different ways that praise is used in the Old Testament. One usage in the Old Testament is to make music with instruments and singing together. It's the connection of singing and musical instruments. God says that, and by the way, that's 41 times that word is used in Psalms when you have an instrument and a voice together. Do you know what we did tonight in singing that first congregational song? That fit the biblical description of praising God. I think the Lord Jesus Christ was blessed tonight and praised because of music and musical instrument mixed together with the voice and with singing. 41 times, that is the meaning in the Old Testament of praise. And so that's one particular usage. Now there's a second usage. Another usage for praise is to boast and to make a show. To boast and to make a show. Now it's not talking about us. It's talking about to the Lord. Amen? And it may surprise you, but 94 times in the book of Psalms, this word for praise means this meaning, and it means to boast or to make a show. Can I tell you what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be boasting on God. We're supposed to be telling people are to boast and to brag on God. I'm glad I'm not a Muslim tonight. I wouldn't have much to boast on. But I have a Redeemer who saved me and gave me a eternal life, who purchased me in His blood and saved me because He loved us. And the grace of God is given to us to trust Him and to receive Him. Hey, I want to tell you something. I want to boast in the Lord. I want to let you know God is my God. God is the God that I'm serving, and I'm glad to serve God. And you know, it's one thing in church, we should boast on the Lord in church. But I'll tell you what, God wants this whole world to hear us boast about our God. To hear us make a show, it is really what it means. It means to lift Him up in every way possible and to make Him seen. That's seen 94 times in the book of Psalms alone. Now there's a third usage in the book of Psalms, and I'm referring mainly to the Old Testament here, but a third usage refers to singing a hymn. Singing a hymn. And that particular form of praise is used 62 times in the Old Testament. And it's singing a hymn, singing a song. And there's different qualifications for songs, but a hymn is a song that is specifically declared and specifically laid down. I had the privilege this morning of preaching in a rest home in Bethany. I go up there every other Wednesday and preach to those dear folks up there. And last time we had a lady saved and trusted the Lord. What a blessing, amen. I wish she wouldn't have waited all her life, but thank God she didn't wait till she passed away before she got saved, and she trusted the Lord. And we sang the old Rugged Cross, and we didn't have hymn books, but they were all singing along with me. They knew that hymn, and the reason they knew that hymn is because they'd grown up in church, they'd heard the song, and the hymn became a part of their mind, and they knew that song. Amen? In fact, some of their minds were sharper than my mind was. Amen? You ever thought you knew a song and then you started singing it and you didn't really actually know what you thought you knew? It's one thing to be sitting in the pew doing that, but when you're in front of everybody and you do it, that's embarrassing. Amen? And that's how I found myself. But anyhow, it's talking about a hymn. It's talking about singing to God. It is amazing how much praise and glory are connected with music in the Bible. You know, I've noticed whenever somebody is downhearted, they have either had the wrong music in their life or no music in their life. Hey, I believe you need good music in your heart and your life, not just in church, but all throughout the week. Listen to good music. And I've enjoyed the Christmas songs. I've enjoyed just singing the Christmas songs. They come alive again at Christmas. And what a joy it is to sing these hymns. Now, God's teaching us here that singing with instruments, boasting on the Lord, and using songs with our voice. Our voice is the most powerful tool that we have to praise the Lord. Years ago, I had a side job when I was pastoring Colorado, and I was doing a courier delivery job. And I'd get in my little Ford Aspire car, and I'd buzz all around town back when, you know, I think gas was about 95 cents a gallon back then. Hallelujah, man. I can't imagine. Heaven's going to be really wonderful because the gas prices are very cheap in heaven. Yeah. Amen. But I would drive around. I'll never forget. I had a delivery. It sent me to the Department of Defense there, and you go in and you have to wait in front because it's a government building and you can't just go back to where the package is delivered. You have to wait for them to come out. And I'll never forget, I'm standing there. I called them and I waited. And it's a government operation, so I waited for about 15, 20 minutes. And so I had this package. And finally, I was looking down this long hallway and there was a man coming and he had a limp. And I'll never forget, he was coming all the way down this long hall, and he was way at the end, he was just a speck in the distance. But I could even make out that he was limping all the way. But as he got closer to me, I didn't even know the guy, but as he got closer to me, I could hear him singing. He was singing. He was singing, thank the Lord, praise the Lord. And it wasn't one of these rocky type of songs. You could tell this guy was genuine. He was loving the Lord. He was praising the Lord. He got out of his office. He had the opportunity to walk that hallway, pick up that package. When he got down there, he was just praising the Lord. I'll never forget that. You know, if a man who's got a permanent limp in his leg, and he didn't just walk with a limp, it was a deformity in his leg. And I'll never forget, if a guy can praise the Lord like that, man, shouldn't we all be praising the Lord a whole lot more? Why is it the more we have, the less we praise the Lord? And the less we have, the more we praise the Lord. I mean, have you ever seen somebody who just loved the Lord and praised the Lord and was happy to serve the Lord? You ever seen somebody like that? I'll tell you, 9 times out of 10, they're probably somebody who doesn't really have a whole lot in life. But their joy is not in the things of life, but their joy is about praising the Lord for what he's done in life. Well, there's a few things I want to show you tonight about praising the Lord. If you look in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, number one, we praise God because we are a purchased possession. Look at verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. You know, I think that adequately describes what God did for us, because you realize we were held by Satan before we got saved. You were, as Romans teaches us, we were the servants of sin. We were enslaved by sin. Now, I know there's some of you grew up in church and, you know, you never went out into what we know was deep sin. But the truth is we're all sinners and we're all deserving of an eternal hell away from God. But God one day came and he purchased us in his blood and saved us so that we could be his. We are the Lord's because he purchased us. Let me tell you something. Somebody paid for your redemption. Somebody paid a price for you and for me. I didn't just get saved because I wanted to. There was a cost involved in that salvation. I am a purchased possession of God. And if you're saved here tonight, you're a purchased possession of God. God saved you. He redeemed you. He bought you back, so to speak, from the hands of Satan, and you're his purchased possession. So God said, because of that, we should praise the Lord. Amen. We should live our life every day thanking the Lord. I don't have to spend eternity in hell away from God. I get to go to heaven. Amen. I get to walk on streets of gold one day. And it's all because he purchased me. Thank God. Well, I think Christians kind of need a revival of shouting and praising God again. Amen? Hey, you may be Baptist, but that, listen, that's okay. Don't worry about if you're Baptist or not. Just let it out sometimes. Amen? It's good to just say amen. You're a purchased possession of God. God redeemed you and saved you. We got something wonderful to praise God about. Now, I want you to notice also the trials of our faith have a purpose to make us found unto the praise of his glory. The trials of faith. You know what trials are meant to make us do? They're to turn us to the praise of his glory. You know, I think when Job passed all the tremendous trials when he went through, I think God looked down on his life and he was well pleased with Job. Job, he struggled. He went through difficulties. But the trial of our faith, which makes us more precious than gold, that trial of our faith is what God took and what God used to make us to the praise of his glory. You know, when God puts us through trials, he's not trying to hurt us or defeat us. He's not trying to do that. He's trying to purify us that we will come forth as gold. That's what God's trying to do. Be sure you pass your tests and your trials. You know, I've learned this about tests. If I went to school where if you didn't pass the test, guess what? You had to do another 3 weeks of work over again until you passed the test. Man alive. That bothered me. I want to pass the test so I don't have to repeat the trial. And you know, God's just trying to take our trials of life, the pressures of life, he's trying to make us gold so that we can be to the praise of his glory. I think God liked to tell all the others, hey, look at Job. Look at Job's life. If Job can make it, you can make it. If Job can live a life of praise, then you can live a life of praise. And that is what God is trying to accomplish in our life. You know, praise, number three, let me say this. Praise should be given God when he does amazing things in our life. When God does something for you, be sure to thank him and praise him for it. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you did. Lord, thank you. I had traded my Ford in for a Chevrolet. Thank you, Lord. Have you ever had one of those old clunker cars and you didn't have money for the next one? And you're chunking and clunking down the road and one day you leave a bumper and the next day you leave a fender and, you know, you ever driven one of those cars? Man, I'll never forget, I bought a $500 car one time. And believe me, it wasn't even worth $500. It wasn't. And the previous owner had big dogs and there was dog hair all over the entire car. I couldn't even get it out with a vacuum cleaner. Every time I got in that car, I'd sneeze. But I drove that thing for 6 months. Thank God for the day I got to trade it in. Amen. You say those are ridiculous things in life. Let me tell you something. We ought to praise God for everything. You ever lost your keys? Isn't that the most miserable thing in the world? You lose your keys, life has stopped. Right? You are going nowhere. You are doing nothing until you find your keys. And when you find those keys, you searched and you searched and you searched and you don't know where. And all of a sudden your wife says, oh, here I have them. All of a sudden there, you're not worried about getting mad at her. You're just saying, thank God I got my keys back. Amen. Now, you may think those are ridiculous things, but I want to tell you something. Everything deserves praise to God. Everything. The pillow we sleep on at night. We have shelter over our heads. We have food on our tables. We have so many blessings that we want to just praise God and thank Him for what He's done for us. Because every resource in our life ultimately comes from God. Every resource. I heard a man once say, I don't need God. I'm a self-made man. And a wise man looked at him and he said, really? Well, who made you that you could be a self-made man? Everything in our life goes back to God. And we should praise Him. Praise Him for what He does in our life. God does something good for you, man, stand up and say, thank the Lord for it. Let somebody know, hey, let me tell you what God did for me. Tell people what God's done. It's about praising the Lord. Number four, God is praised when we live a righteous life. Take your Bible and go over to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, just a couple pages over to Philippians chapter 1. And notice here, verse number 10, Philippians 1, verse number 10. It says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now notice here, God is praised when we live a righteous life, not self-righteous, but we're living godly. We're saying no to temptations and no to sin. That's the kind of life that brings praise to God. That kind of life. You know, we have this idea in contemporary Christianity today that praising God, all you got to do is just pray, lift up your hands and shake your hands and get all emotionally excited. And then go home and live however you want. Let me tell you something. That is so far from genuine praising God. You know what genuine praise is? It's when a Christian humbles their heart and their life and says, Lord, I'm going to follow your will. I'm going to follow your word. And Lord, if your word says it, I'm going to follow you with all my heart. I'm going to give you my whole heart. That's praise to God. Hey, I want to tell you something. God doesn't want empty lives that praise Him. God wants lives that are full of the fruits of righteousness, full of the fruits of godliness and living for God and pleasing God and being more like Him every day. That is praise to God. God looks down at a life like that. And by the way, young people, just because you're young doesn't mean you can't be filled with the fruits of righteousness. Amen? You say, well, I'm young and I want to sow my wild oats and I want to go do these things that I want to do while I'm young. I'm not ready to commit to God. Let me tell you something. That is a good way. That is a good way to just ruin your life. It's a good way. And by the way, real joy isn't found in having all and going doing whatever you want. Just ask the prodigal son if it brought him joy. It didn't bring him any joy. Tell you what brings you real joy is when you know that God the Father's pleased with your life. You know, God doesn't expect perfection of us. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. He expects us to love Him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and to live a life pleasing to him. That's what he asks. That's what brings real praise to God. Let me say, number five, we should never forget to praise the Lord. We should never forget to praise the Lord. You know, when God does something in your life, there should be something that clicks in our mind that says, Lord, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I give you all the honor. Because the truth is that anything that we could do could not be accomplished without the Lord Jesus Christ helping us. Nothing. Everything goes back to God. I think there's times when we ought to just get out somewhere, get alone in the woods, find a place all alone, quiet, and say, Lord, I don't want to ask you for anything today. I don't want to come to you with a burden. I don't want to come to you today with a trouble or a problem. I just want to praise you and praise your name. I just want to thank you for being God, for being real in my life, for purchasing me when I didn't deserve it, for giving me a home in heaven, for giving me joy and happiness in this life, and for giving me a Chevy instead of a Ford. Amen. I'm just saying tonight, how little we often praise God. We praise God so little when everything is of him. Every good thing comes from God. There's nothing in your life that you and I have created. Nothing. All praise for everything good in life goes back to God. And when God does some things in your life and some amazing things, I tell you what, praise God. God is good. I remember years ago, Nathaniel and Sandra, they were praying for a child, couldn't have a child. And we prayed for years. We prayed for years. And Lord, give them a child. And we prayed, and it looked like they would never have a child. But you know what? God changed that. And I believe God did that through prayer, the prayer of God's people. And all of a sudden, here came Lillian, and she's here to terrorize the church. Amen. Don't complain. We prayed for her. Yeah. Amen. Don't complain. You asked God for her. Amen. Here she came. But I'll tell you what, when I see that little girl run around, many times when I see her, I think, praise God for that child. God did that. God did that. I'm sure if you could scan over your life and look into the pockets and places of life where you've already been, I'm sure you could find something that you could pull out and say, God did that. God did that for me. You know what, God? I'm just going to clear off a spot and start singing glory to God. Hallelujah. Just get out in the middle of your lawn and start singing, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Everybody will think you're crazy. But God will look down and say, you know what? I like that. And I get praise out of that. Well, one last thing I want to give you tonight. You know, the Bible teaches us that we should never seek to be a person who pleases men. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, the Apostle Paul said, should I please God or men? Who should I please? And he faced this dilemma. And I think we all face it, don't we? We all face this dilemma of sometimes the world doesn't want to please God and they want us to please them. And on the other side of that coin, God says, I want you to please me first and foremost. And the Apostle Paul, when he preached, his goal was not to please men. His goal was to please God. It was to see and ensure that God's smile and God's praise was on whatever he did. And you know, I want to tell you something. There's a dangerous trap in life, and that trap is when we find and we live this life where we're just trying to please everybody else. And the truth is, you can't do it, can you? You can't do it. I'll never forget, years ago, I pastored a church, and it was a difficult church. Oh, it had so many problems and issues. And I'll never forget, one day a man walked in my office, and with a real stern, straightforward voice, he said, "Pastor, we need to do this in the church." And I said, "Well, I'll pray about that, and I'll think about that and consider it." As soon as he went out of the office, another man came in the office, and he said, "Pastor, I think we need to do this in the church." And you know what? It was the exact opposite of what the guy who just came into the office told me. We need to do that in the church. You say, whose choice did you choose, Pastor? Which man did you choose? You know, the truth is, I had to separate from that choice and say, "Lord, I'm really not interested." And I wasn't trying to be unkind. But Lord, I want to know what you want me to do. I want to do what you say. Because when you let God have your life, it will be to the praise of his glory. I believe every decision you make in life, you ought to say, "Lord, will you get praise out of this? Will you get glory out of this? Lord, what I do today, will you gain praise out of it?" You know, there's a new year coming up. Whole new year, 2023. And you know, 2021 might have been a bad year for you. It might have been a year when you didn't really please the Lord with all your heart. Can I tell you what? We serve a God. And by the way, this should cause us to praise him. We serve a God that when you fail and you falter, you can get right back up, keep right on going and serving the Lord and be an overcomer for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that should bring praise to God, shouldn't it? That should bring praise to God. Christian, are you living a life of praise to God? Oh, I'll tell you, there's nothing more, gives God more praise than when a sinner comes to Christ and gets saved. Nothing more. Nothing better. God looks down on that, and he sees the sacrifice of his son that paid for that purchased possession, that person might be saved and know Jesus as their Savior. God looks down, and he is glorified and honored. And you know, when a person gets saved, sometimes a person fears trusting God and fears being saved. There should be no fear in it. There should be faith in it. There should be perfect faith that trusts God. And friend, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't let the devil put fear into your heart and life. Let God put faith into your life that it will bring praise and glory to God for your soul to be saved. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes.